Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. So guys, before we go into today's content and all the fun stuff we have to discuss between Jack and I, guys, we launched the Big Grove giveaway and I have a phone call. Guys, we launched the Big Grove giveaway. Go check it out. Like, go like, go comment, two friends. Share what you love about Big Grove with us. We'd love to hear. Big Grove would love to hear it. Reshare. Like, guys, you guys can win gift cards to Big Grove. This is free money to go get drinks, get food, have fun, chill by the fire pits, do whatever you want to do. Go do it right now. And Jack, going into do whatever you want to do, we're in the middle of fantasy football right now. I want to know, give me your top two teams. I know you're in four leagues. We don't have time to go four leagues. We can go two. Give me your two teams' records right now. I'll give you mine, and then we'll go into team depth.
Oh, I'll pull up the records right now. So one of the leagues is kind of interesting. I inherited a team a little late into the season. The guy just said, I don't want to do it anymore. So I was like, okay. And I took it over, and the team I think was like 0-3, maybe at the time 0-4. And they had Najee Harris on the team, so I renamed the team to American Najee Warrior. I'm in the top half, but it's a lot of mumbo-jumbled teams. I think it's a 10-man, so I'm only 5-4, so I'm right in the middle in that one. But if I go to this this one for my fraternity that I'm not even an active in, I'm 6-3. And the thing that really has done me well for that team, I'll go through the three key players. Justin Herbert, I think I bought into him very early in the draft. I was like, I need this. It's going to be the way to go. Number two, I had to take him at number, I think, 12 in the first round, Travis Kelce. It was just like I felt handcuffed, and I was like, shit, I feel like I'd be dumb not to take
I'm
him.
I'm a huge tight end guy in fantasy. So
I took him. And then the last one, I do have CeeDee Lamb, but Ja'Marr Chase has been an unreal player, and I've thought about trading him like three or four different times, and I haven't, just because he like continually proves that he's an all pro receiver already, and I can't fathom moving him. But like, my running backs are Antonio Gibson and Devin Singletary in this league, and that doesn't really get it done. I have Damian Harris, who has been a fantasy winner for me. I mean, he late pick, and I think he's been an RB1, so the team's not terrible. I definitely have not been I've not been hit by the injury bug. And I will say, I did make one gamble. I drafted Michael Thomas, and I held on to him for a little. And about 3 weeks ago, one of my buddies texted me, and he goes, what do you want for Mike Thomas? And he sent me just a trade, straight up Mike Thomas for Kenny Galladay. And this was before Kenny got hurt, before Danny got hurt, and everyone did. And I was like, yeah, you know, what if Mike Thomas just doesn't play? And so I traded it for straight up, and it worked. And I was like, wow, in the long run, I really got gypped on the value, but I still got Kenny Galladay for someone that will not play this year. Yeah, and I think that is one of my fantasy wins that I will have. It'll be a moral victory. And I've said, we said four leagues. I think I can win two of them. I think I can. So we got a long season ahead of us.
Yeah, you know what? I really respect that one, actually.
Yeah, that was me going out on a limb, and I was like, you know, I've just got this feeling that he's not gonna. And
Well,
hey, it worked out. I got spidey senses.
Because my flop, I'll already say my flop pick was Travis Etienne. I mean, like, dude, I got him as a running back. I drafted him not too high. I think I drafted him in the later rounds. But I was like, this is going to be great if they go off, if he takes a lot of the carries on, you know, receiving yards and everything like that. He's going to get so many targets from Lawrence. This is going to be great because my situation. So I'm in a 14-man league and a 12-team league, so pretty competitive leagues. And in one of my leagues, I literally got the last pick in the draft and my fraternity, my 14-team league. And so I really had to think about, where is the value? So for me, my value was draft top position players and sacrifice the RBs at first, because I was like, I didn't want to get a RB that's valued in the third round and the first round. I just thought that would be a waste of a pick. So my top three players are Josh Allen. Didn't draft him first. I got Devontae Adams first. So I got Devontae first. I got Josh Allen third, and I got Waller second. And I figured with that, got a tight end that's going to get a lot of targets, always going to put up decent numbers most of the time this year. He's kind of been in and out. Devontae Adams always puts up between 14 to 20 something. And then Josh Allen, who, I mean, he's been unreal this year. So that was a great pick. Problem is, I also got more depth in the wide receiver area. So I got Waddle, I got Mooney, I got a couple other pieces that I moved around a little bit. And so my problem is running backs, I am extremely, extremely depleted and weak. So my starters this week, who put up a 1.8 and a 1.4 for me, are Mike Davis of the Atlanta Falcons and my boy from Naples, Florida, Carlos Hyde from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are my starters for the week. Okay.
Let me ask you right here, like, what running backs have you thought about trading for? Because I have like a couple names that I've really pushed for and I haven't had any movement. But is there anyone that you've like really wanted to go get?
Yeah, let me look through real quick because there are a few I sent trade proposals.
I've been trying all season to get Najee from this one kid.
Okay, Najee, I've gotten declined every time.
You got to try.
Another one that I went after, I'm just looking through real quick, is so one of our guys barely ever does his team. So I went after Dalvin. I went after Dalvin Cook. Didn't happen. I've dabbled in my other league. And then I also went after, I went after Kamara earlier when he was healthy. And that was, I was close, almost landed Kamara for Waddle and Giovanni Bernard. And then he's like, I don't know about Giovanni Bernard, throw someone else. And I did. And I threw a Noah Fant. He didn't want another tight end. So killed the deal.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple names that I feel like a lot of people might have selected or picked up in waivers that never panned out.
And I have Herbert. I picked up Herbert, who did well for me for a couple.
He did well. And that's like one of those that has done really well. Another one that's done really well, Cordarrelle Patterson off waivers. Like he's been that dude.
He put up 4.9 this week, but
which is tough. Tariq Cohen, whoever drafted him, but you feel like a moron right now. Like that's just like he won't play this year.
Yeah.
The one that I made, like I made a gamble on Josh Gordon. That hasn't worked out yet. I dropped him like weeks ago, but I was like, maybe it'll work. It didn't right away. I have Saquon in two of my leagues, and so that's really hurt me. You know, like I have a rule,
don't draft Saquon because he's just not worth the risk.
But it was just like round and where I was picking, like it was just like if you don't take him here, you're not going to get a good one. And it was just I was handcuffed to taking him, and it sucked. But hey, I'm learning from it. And the other one that I really regret, Miles Sanders. Like that guy just gets so screwed out of the game plan, like week in and week out, and like he's hurt right now, but. Fuck, he's been bad, but good ones. Like I said, Jamar Chase, Hunter Renfrow. I think he's been having a great year.
So I usually draft Renfrow. I usually get him, and I gave him up to get Waddle, which was I'm happy about. But when I played Renfrow though, and he killed me, I'm just like, I'm high on Renfrow.
And the other one that is kind of more personal for me, but I had in two leagues, I had this situation where I could pick either Russ or Lamar. And I took Russ or not Russ, excuse me. Fuck. I took Lamar both times. Wow. And I feel
I remember you did Lamar.
That was a win. That was such a win.
Because I chewed you out. I'm like, why didn't you take Russ? Because Russ put up numbers for me last year.
Right. And I was like, oh, there's no way he does it 2 years in a row and again. And like, he didn't. And I mean, his finger was going the wrong way.
Health. It wasn't
pure luck. And then another win was whoever picked up like AJ Dillon a month ago.
Oh yeah.
I picked him up last week in that 10 man. And we have a three flex. And so it's interesting because you get to play like a lot of players. But one thing that you brought up before we started recording that was interesting was talking about like offensive line and if there could be a fantasy for that. And it's interesting because my roommate, he has a league where you have like a coach for your fantasy lineup.
What?
And the only way that scoring really works is like margin of victory and like how many yards are gained and like allowed. And like, it's, I think it's that, or maybe it's just margin of victory, but either way, I didn't really like it. And when you had brought up the idea of like, if you could do like somehow implement offensive line in the fantasy, it like, it piqued my interest because the way that you presented it was like, you have, you pick two linemen mm-hmm. for your lineup. And that was like how you get it. And then I thought, I was like, well, what if we did, you scrap the two and you just go like full unit, like you did with defense special teams.
Oh,
you give point, you give points for like, if you get 100 yards rushing, 150, 200, no sacks allowed. The thing that was like confusing, I was like, well, what if a quarterback gets pushed out of the pocket and like someone gives up a pressure and he scrambles for like 10 yards, you know, like those are little intricacies that like, I didn't know would work out. But when you brought that up, I was like, that's kind of maybe got something to it. Like that could be another wrinkle that I think could actually play if it's like thought out well.
Cause I was thinking about it, like you can calculate like a pancake in there. You can calculate how many times mm-hmm. a QB got sacked and put that against them if it was in their area. Like you can do all that. And I was even thinking, you factor in passing yards, you QB hits. Like there's so many ways to do it where it could work. And like, think about a guy like, this is where I thought of it, was like a guy like Tristan Wirfs, who literally had one QB hit in the last like 100 something snaps he played in the NFL or whatever. Like, how can that not be accounted for something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at some of the things that they already calculate receiving, or like if it can be calculated, I'm like, that could be factored in. It could be so fun. Just think about how many O-linemen there are, and there are only a couple that are super elite, and then there's the guys who are average and good. Like, it would be so fun to draft some big boys up front.
That would be, and I've seen like
some, and I ride with it hard.
Oh yeah, I've seen some screenshots on Twitter of people who do fantasy like defense, and I see guys who have like Aaron Donald or like Jalen Ramsey or like Levante David, and they get like 9 points because it's like tackles for loss, sacks, picks, pass deflection. It's like, that's kind of interesting. Like I would be really open to like going into that side of it.
Yeah.
But like staying on the topic of fantasy, like I am personally really interested in like dynasty leagues and how those work, where like you pick someone, and like my roommate who's
one of my friends is in fantasy.
He's in one, and he's got like a fantasy dynasty like keepers league, and he drafted Lawrence and someone else, and he has like Rondale as a keeper. And it's just interesting to like, you could really invest in your team more so like that, and like actually like drafting ETN, like if you took him early in your dynasty draft, like that's fucking catastrophic.
That's why I want to do a dynasty league next year. I want to build one out.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't even know. Like,
I love,
don't they have to like
try stuff that to do that in fantasy would be so fun.
How many, like, you don't need, I don't think, do you need as many teams for your dynasty, or is it still like an 8 minimum type deal?
I think you can do as many as you want.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
But I would do 8 to 10 to keep it competitive.
Yeah, and I just, it's so, under
8's a weak man league.
I think trading in it as well is like probably more existent. You can
trade draft picks too.
Well, right. And I think it's probably like more existent because teams know when they're like contending and like going to maybe win the league actually. And like you can trade a pick and whatnot. And it's like, if you get in these like single league fantasy leagues where there's no keepers and all that, like people don't really want to trade that much because
there are rarely trades and they get vetoed all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. People get scared and they're like, oh, you're trade scumming me here. And it's like, dude, let's just make a deal, it's for the better of us. I actually had a situation in one of my leagues, if they're listening they'll know who I'm talking about, but we were talking about plans for the weekend, and one of my buddies had Derrick Henry, and he's obviously, you know, done for the year, and he texted another one of my friends who's bottom of the league, and mind you, this friend he texted, he had drafted rookie quarterbacks for our draft, and he was like, I'm gonna monopolize the league, and if people want the rookies, they'll come get them. Well, he drafted Fields and Lawrence, who did not pan out from the beginning.
Yeah,
so he's got like Teddy B right now. But anyway, this kid texts him and he goes, hey, like I've got a trade for you that's like even, it'll help me and you out, and like you won't, for this league we have to take the ACT if we lose. And so,
oh my god, that's great.
It's awesome. And so this kid, he texts him and he gives him a good deal. It's like,
can they take it on the podcast?
No, I think we're just going to have him. Maybe we'll have to give him a ride to it because they'll be of, you know, under the influence just to get through it. We'll see. We still got to coordinate all of it. Quarter, you know? Yeah, we got to do a lot. But he sent him a pretty good, like, 2-for-2 trade, and the kid said no. And long story short, he threatened to, like, not give him a ride to this, like, event. He was just like, well, then find a new ride. He was just like, if you don't think this trade's even, then screw you. Like, it was just like fantasy dive so deep. And it's I really haven't been in fantasy for the last, I don't know, really couple years. Like, I don't try to go too deep in it because I like to enjoy football more so than, like, staring at my lineups and seeing if they're all set. And, like, I just to watch the teams a lot of times. And the other thing I think we can both agree on, I did draft one Bear player. I didn't get the chance to draft David Montgomery, but I drafted Mooney. Yeah, that's played, Mooney too. But paid off a little. But other thing, now I say it, shout out to anybody that drafted Allen Robinson. You got to feel like a moron right now.
Well, I said it last year. I'm like, Allen Robinson, don't pay him. I was all for not paying him. And everybody was like my brother, huge Allen Robinson guy. It's like, dude, that's our Brand Marshall. I'm like, dude, no, he's not. That's our Brand Marshall. And I'm like, no, he's not. And I'm like, he's already getting older. Like, no reason to pay him when we're not going to win. Like, see it. And look at this year. It's like Mooney gets the touches. And Komet's now starting to get touches after last week.
I think he's, like, actually starting to get his footing. And a lot of people don't have their patience with him. But he was one of those where I took, like, a 15th or 14th round pick on was Komet. And I didn't keep him around all year. He's still out on a lot of waivers. Yeah. But I think he could be, like, an 8 to 10 point guy. You know, yeah, like, he too. Gets his me touches.
Too. Me too. And I see him as, like, an Austin Hooper level fantasy player. That's where I have him.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair when people always make these, like, where he's picked, he's got to play up to this, like, yeah, comparisons value. Like, the whole Komet to Kelce comparison, and I'm like, well, they're so different, you know? Like, he's built –
that's a blocker.
He's built, blocker, like, first. Tall-wise. Like, I'm trying to compare – he's honestly, like, Mercedes Lewis when he was really good at Green Bay. He was a great blocker. He could go out and get a pass and, like, just dominate people on the line. And Mercedes Lewis is still playing. I mean, he'd be a really good player. Cole Kmet would be if he, like, ends up being like that. But I think someone that I saw a stat before we came on, someone that I think people are going to be interested in picking up is Cam. Because he scored nearly 12 points. And he played, like, five plays. And Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, someone else, they all had under, like, 10 points. So it was just like, can Cam be that guy where if you need, like, someone off a bad matchup, like, can you put him in? That'll be interesting. I think it'll also be interesting if Taysom Hill gets any more looks because he barely gets the ball.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say is Cam's a new Taysom and more excited. Well, okay, so I heard this thing today. This is a good question. If Cam plays 3 to 4 more years, like, really plays, is he a Hall of Famer?
I'm gonna go to his Wikipedia right now, and I like to do the thing where they give, like, all the records.
I'm going to give a stat thing. So passing yards, he's not going to really amaze, you know, that way. Like, they're not going to be that impressive. But he currently has, like, 71 rushing touchdowns. Barry Sanders had 99 when he retired. So imagine if he got close to that and had the MVP. Maybe it was one big playoff run. Is he an MVP? Because I'm 50. I'm torn. I don't have a decision yet, which is terrible to say. But I really don't know because I need him to start a game before I can, like, go that route. But I think it'd be a very interesting conversation if Cam was a Hall of Famer after everything.
I think he is.
I'd put no right now. I'd put no.
I think he – I mean, honestly, Sam, like,
if
I go
if he is,
through,
I'd say fifth ballot. I wouldn't say
– No, wouldn't but, say like, four, no, like, but straight up, ballot. Like, I do the thing where I go into their Wikipedia and I go down to the accomplishments and records and I take a look, and if it, like, hits my eye how many crazy things they have, like, boom – I go, yeah, Hall of Fame, 100%. Like, MVP, that helps. Offensive Player of the Year, that helps. As a rookie, most combined touchdowns for a rookie in NFL history. Yards, first rookie to pass for at least 4,000 yards. Like, you just said you didn't expect Cam to be a guy that passes it, but first rookie to throw for at least 4K. Like, that's impressive. First and only rookie to pass for more than 4,000 and rush for more than 700. That's, like, imagine if Justin Fields did that this year. You know, we'd be crowning him as Jesus Christ.
So he like has most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback and most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback in a season. Those are some of his records. Now, my one thing is, what happens if Lamar breaks those and Lamar's longevity is better than Cam? Because I'm going to compare Lamar to him. They're different players, but those records count.
Yes, for both of them. I agree with that. And I think like
what you just hand down.
Well, maybe, but I think with what you just said, with how like Lamar and Cam are different, like Cam did not have that speed and agility like Lamar does. Where Lamar can get away from like a big hit in a bad situation if he wants
Cam
to.
Cam runs through them.
Right. Cam looked for those bad situations and like wanted to run through them. And that like his body has paid the price. But I'd still like when Cam had that MVP year, he took him to the bowl. He did everything that he did in Carolina. I'd say he's been the most exciting Panther to watch other than Steve Smith. Like the guy, and damn, it sucks that the Kuechly's there too. But like, seriously, Cam Newton.
What about Mushin Muhammad?
Mushin Muhammad, Greg Olsen. You know, we could get Charles Tillman. I mean, we got a lot of names.
Yeah.
But
Jake DeLome.
Jeez. I honestly think he could.
What a guy.
D'Angelo Williams. I think he could. Yeah. You know, I think he could be a Hall of Famer.
John Stewart. Or not John Stewart.
Jonathan Stewart. He was a fullback playing running back in the Super Bowl, and it was like, holy shit, this guy is way too big to be that far behind the line. Here, most combined yards in franchise history for the Panthers, that says something, you know? Like that, he is the most combined yards. The guy's just the best offensive player they've ever seen walk into those, like, halls. And I think that's got to carry some merit for, like, football history. And like, yeah, Lamar will break his records. I think Lamar is also like one of those generational talents that people just love to hate on because he's so damn good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'll never understand this like Lamar like slander and shit. Like, bro, people have bad games. Like Mahomes has had bad games, but Lamar has been on a different level. And there's
because everybody's like, Lamar doesn't have an arm, he can't throw, all he can do is run. And I'm like, no.
You know,
watch the games, you make throws.
Right.
He's
and at the end of the day,
he
might not make all the throws and he might not be like the best quarterback, but isn't it at the end of the day just about like wins and losses? Yep. And right now, the Ravens are 6-3, about to play the Bears, gonna get walloped.
Well, think about how crazy is John Harbaugh still their coach. Like,
yeah, guy's been there for a minute.
Yeah. Like, Tomlin and Harbaugh are going to be there for years and years and years.
Hey,
like it's their division.
I got a little rumor mill action we could throw in here.
Oh, yeah?
A little something, a little birdie bird read something. This isn't a real thing. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
It's just a little rumbling.
I have a feeling I know what this is about, but okay.
Next Bears coach.
Yep, I knew this. That's what it was going to be. Okay.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oof, I'm good.
Now let me like just
I'm good.
Retort.
If he beats Ohio State, I'm in.
No. I don't think we can compare college to pro. Let's just compare what he did in the pros. Okay, he had one stint in with the Niners. He made a great defense. Mm-hmm. He made it to the Super Bowl with Cap.
Yep. Yep.
Frank Gore, yep. Crabtree,
yep.
Anquan,
Randy Moss.
Good run. He had one run.
Randy Moss.
And then they kicked him to the curb. Yep. And he went to Michigan because that was what everybody thought the beloved, forgotten son, Jim Harbaugh, was going to come save the day. And he didn't.
Yeah.
But I could see Virginia doing the same shit before she kicks it kind of deal. You know, if they're able to get him out of that contract and she's like, I always liked Jim. You know, he was a great fella. I really liked his presence around the building. And, you know, George always looked down on Jim as like another son. I could see that, you know?
Well, first off, George probably wasn't even alive when Jim was coached because he died right
before. He was talking about his memory, his spirit.
But I get it. I get where you're coming from there. But I think Jim would have been the great option after he left the 49ers and not now.
Yeah. That's a fair reply, but I think it would be interesting to see how this.
I'm talking into existence. I don't have a name of a coach. I just want Brandon Staley 2.0. That's what I'm riding on. I want Brandon Staley 2.0.
I I think it's interesting now that I've put that into the world to like watch how the Michigan year unfolds. Yep. If they crumble,
you can clip it. So then you can clip it. Right. And then if they do it, oh,
we'll see.
Back in November.
We'll see. Well, you never know. That's why you make these takes. It's why I took Lamar over Russ. It's why I told my roommate when he took Jonathan Taylor 8th overall that he was a moron, and now he's laughing in my face. So it's things like this that happen.
Fair.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with all of it. The one take I did make in fantasy that has bit me in the ass has been Lockett. And not because I regret drafting him, but because I didn't sell higher on him after 4 weeks. Because I had an opportunity to, and I didn't. And then it was like by happenstance, like we said, Russ got hurt. But
and Geno Smith is their starting quarterback. So.
And he can't throw the ball downfield to Tyler Lockett. He's just throwing it over the middle to DK.
He's trying to throw it back to West Virginia. He's trying to throw cross country.
And one last thing.
In Kansas.
Yeah, before we wrap this up. Packers played last night. They played pretty damn well against the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Are you starting to feel nervous that this last dance might actually be real from Rodgers, and that if he wins it, he might actually dip? Because I think this team's got like a vibe.
I'm calling it here. This is my take. He's going to Pittsburgh. I'm calling.
No, but Sam, my thing is if he wins the Super Bowl this year,
he stays.
No, I think he's.
Oh, you think he retires?
I think if he wins it this year, he's actually dunsy. But it'd be actually really fitting for him to go NFC Championship and lose again. But this team's really good. You know, they're really good.
No, but I think he has the TB12 chip on his shoulder. Like, I still got to show you guys some shit. Like, he talks on Pat's pod and all that. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's done. Because also, when you win like that, when you're a guy like Aaron Rodgers, where it took you so long to get back, you're kind of like, that was fun. I want to do it again. You're not like, oh, because my prediction is if he retires, he comes back, he pulls a Brett Favre, which would be so stereotypical because everybody would be like, of course he pulls a Brett Favre. The guy that replaces Favre pulls a Favre. But I just don't think after everything with COVID and everything that happened, I think he has that drive to play.
So we've ad nauseum said we both think he's going to Shittsburg.
Yeah.
That's an obvious chalk decision, but like, where else? Like, now that we're halfway through the year, we know which teams like
Miami
have a quarterback, don't have a quarterback.
Miami.
But do you think Watson has the opportunity of going there for a cheaper value after the season?
I do, but knowing Miami, if Rodgers was a free agent, they're splurging on Rodgers.
Yeah, true.
They have some talent at wideout with Waddle now, and they have Devontae Parker who can make a few plays. They have Gesicki, who hasn't done much fantasy wise, but he's still a solid piece.
Yeah.
And then they have a little bit of a run. Like, they're not playing great this year, but I think a lot of it's just a dysfunctional team right now. Their defense doesn't look up to anything. But I think Miami, if they want to spend on Rodgers, go to the 305. No COVID rules in the 305. Rodgers would be living his best life. Like, I don't know. That Miami's my pick.
So, you know, I'm kind of
scared. The chalk answer is 49ers.
I don't think so because they trade up for Lance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But like, I'm scared to fall into this trap of saying, like, these older quarterbacks only want to go play in, like, warmer climate. And I feel like we're bottlenecking ourselves to, like, Miami, San Fran, Las Vegas, if they want to move on from Carr and, like, other.
They're keeping Carr.
I keep thinking back and circling back to like NFL draft time and just before then and thinking, what if he went to Denver, you know?
But Denver was my pick back when we talked about it originally.
But now that they've gotten rid of, you know, Vaughn.
That's what I'm saying. I
don't think they've got the team to do it. And, you know, there's going to have to be a lot of moving parts. I'm just trying to think of like which teams – are like going to be in desperate need.
The only other team I've had is the Jets.
Yeah, you know, that's in my mind too, but who the fuck wants to go play for the Jets?
Well, you buy into the coach would be the thing.
Oh, fucking buy. Yeah. Well, yeah. When was what? Sam, tell me the last time.
No. But listen.
But actually, when was the last time the Jets had a coach that you'd buy into as a
Rex
fan?
Ryan.
Rex fucking Ryan. Exact. And he's on ESPN right now. And he already said it'd take a lot of money to get. I don't even think he'd actually go back.
He wouldn't go back. He said he wouldn't go back.
I think he said he wouldn't go back.
But what I'm saying is if Rodgers bought into their current coach and the Jets were like, we will spend on Devontae because Devontae can be free this year, going into this year. Bring Devontae with you. Oh, we'll get this piece. We'll get that piece. You do the rest. And at the deadline, we will try to make some more moves if you need them. And you're playing in New York. I don't know. That could be appealing. Or Giants, like, flip, you know, they trade Daniel Jones to the Packers and whatever, like, you know, and a piece. So
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a cool scenario.
Yeah. And then what they do is they do, like, a three-team trade and they flip Jordan Love for you know, a fourth rounder or something, because I think that's what the value is.
Yeah, if you already value it, a fourth rounder.
That's my take. Fourth rounder.
That's awesome. Well,
and before we wrap,
yeah,
my fantasy record, just to give an update. I'm currently at 4-5. I project that league I'm going to make the playoffs because everybody's a game behind each other. Then the other league, I am a proud 3-6. The only person below me is a guy named Ben Udell. And I'm probably going to be in fourth to last place by the end of the season. That's my prediction.
Okay. So I'm going to go through mine real quick because it's going to be really easy. In my first league, I am first in my division at 6-3. In my second league, I'm third in my division at 5-4. In my third league, it's an 8-teamer. So I'm middle at 5-4. And then the last league, I am bottom of my division at 4-5. But I will say before I get off, I know that sounds bad. I'm going to literally save my ground. Three people in front of me are 5-4. So it's like, okay, come on.
So it's close.
It's like I look at the other division and it's like 1-8, 2-7, 2-7, 3-6. It's like, come on. We got the Big Ten East on our side. And they got the Big Ten West on the other side. So we're just eating each other apart. It says I have a 6% chance to make the playoffs. I legit think I'll make it. I don't give a fuck. I look at the moves on like waivers. I have the league most at 23. Next closest is 22.
Hitting the wire.
14. Yeah, gotta hit the wire for the best players. That's such a depressing sight. Well, got anything else? We wrapping.
Let's wrap it.
All right, guys. Well, if you haven't already, check our socials and be sure to take part in the Big Row giveaway this week. We're going to be doing this for the month or so. So be sure to follow the steps in there, do everything. I mean, it's literally free money. If you don't do it, then you're just lazy and don't care. So do it. Let's all be happy in the end. Like always, not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later.